Tech of Sports, episode 111, your ultimate sports vacation. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, we're going to talk about sports travel and sports vacations on Modern Life Podcast Network. And our mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Modern Life Podcast Network shows on Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. The Tech of Sports is a production of Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. And this is episode 111 already of the Tech of Sports. And no guest tonight other than Steve from Modern Life Podcast Network. He's going to join me tonight. And these are some of my favorite shows because Steve and I just banter back and forth. There's no right or wrong. And we're going to have a little fun and maybe a little dreaming mixed with a little reality tonight. And Steve, thanks for filling in tonight.
Yeah, I always appreciate it, Rick. And I'm not sure I call it bantering. I call it B period S period.
I got to keep it clean, though. That's one thing you told me. These shows, this is a family-oriented network. I know you've had beefs with other hosts that sometimes toe the line, and I don't want to get on your bad side.
Well, you're not going to, because those initials could mean a multitude of things.
Yeah, I know some people that have those initials, friends of mine. So
yeah,
and it's very appropriate that they have those initials.
Sometimes the name fits, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk around tonight. We're maybe not go as long as we have with other Tech of Sports, and I'm sure maybe some of the listeners will be happy about that. But we're going to talk tonight, share some stories and maybe some bucket list items. I know people use the words bucket list a lot. Talk about our ultimate sports vacation or maybe some adventure vacations. Just because last week I spent time, as you know, Steve, in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. That's the home of Road America, which is one of the great road racing courses in this country. A lot of racing history in Elkhart Lake and a beautiful place to visit. And got to go around the track and got to do a go-kart track there. And it was just a great amount of fun. And they have a race school there that people come and go to and drive the track. And they even allow regular citizens of the area on Friday nights to come and take their own cars out and drive the track. And that's just really a great thing for these people. And it's just fun to do that. And I also did some fishing up there, and a lot of people take fishing trips. And then there's companies like, I'll just throw one out. I don't know much about them other than they offer some great trips, VIPFanExperiences.com. And they help sports fans plan their bucket list trips and make dreams come true. So, Steve, as you know, I was up in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin last week and got a taste of their racing school. It's very cool. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I know you're a big NASCAR fan, and is that something you've ever thought about or looked into for yourself?
Well, absolutely. And matter of fact, coming up here in September, I'm going to turn 60, and I'm hoping for my birthday, if my kids or anybody are listening, or even a listener that would like to help me out here, I am dying to go to one of the NASCAR fan experiences or actually take a few laps in a NASCAR.
It is a blast. I've done Atlanta Motor Speedway here in Atlanta, and now I've been up to Road America, and it's almost overwhelming being there on pit road and in the cars and knowing all the history that surrounds these tracks, and you're actually taking laps on the tracks. And I think that's why a lot of people do it. It's an adrenaline rush, I'm sure, but it's definitely something people want to experience and kind of check off their to-do list.
Yeah, I think so. We all have our specialties of life that we enjoy and we wish we could be involved with. And so I think it's great that these companies do have these kinds of programs where you can do things that, like you said, check it off your bucket list just to get that experience. You know, I've been watching NASCAR since I was a little boy and have been to numerous races, but have never really got to experience, you know, the true power, the true G-forces in a turn and stuff like that. And I'm really glad that there's opportunity to do that.
And I think because, we kind of take the internet for granted now. Because of the internet, we can be exposed to a lot of these great trips, fan experiences. There's companies that do all the dirty work for you, and you get to enjoy it on a vacation or even a working trip. So I think technology definitely has brought a lot of people closer to fulfilling items on their bucket list. And that includes, and we had a gentleman on, Steve, on the Tech of Sports a few weeks ago who wrote the book on ballpark food. He visited every major league baseball ballpark. And that really is a bucket list item or an experience that a lot of baseball fans really have on their list, going to all the ballparks. He did that. You know, I think it'd be fun to go to all those cities. The logistics are pretty tough arranging something like that. But maybe that's something you and I and Dave should do, Steve. We should go visit all the Major League ballparks.
How about if we do NFL instead?
You can't hit all the NFL parks in one season because there's only, you know, 17 weeks and there's, you know, 32 teams. And baseball, it's doable because there's so many games. But, you know, you could check off a few NFL stadiums.
Well, that's a valid point. To be honest with you, I would probably get bored going to that many baseball games, but that's just me. But that was a really great guest, and what a unique thing to do.
You could try the different beers at the stadiums and write about them.
Okay, I'm in.
and another place that's on everybody's list is to go to Augusta National and the Masters, and there's lots of companies that offer those trips, or people try to scoop up practice tickets. That if you're a golfer and into sports, there's not anybody that doesn't have the Masters on their list.
I have actually two items on my list that I really want to do. One of them is, in fact, the Masters, and the other one's the Daytona 500.
Well, I think the Daytona 500 is very doable. The Masters is a little tougher. I can't get you tickets for that, Steve. It's very tough. You know, if you throw a couple $1,000s at me, I could probably get you some tickets.
I'll write you a check right now.
I got a place you could stay, though.
Yeah, that's true.
We're a couple hours away from Augusta, and people from Atlanta drive over all the time in the morning and then drive back at night.
Even though there's nothing like truly being there, take the Masters, for example, in what some of these TV systems are doing now, where you have showing multiple holes, you know, in split screen view on TV now, is really an enjoyable experience. You can kind of watch Amen Corner or a specific hole or the leaders. It really makes it more enjoyable now than just a typical TV coverage.
And with our big HD TVs, the fan experience watching it on television in some aspects is better than actually being there. You get to see a lot more of the action. You got to listen to the commentator sometimes, which, you know, people have their own opinions on that. But the fan experience watching on television a sport like golf has never been better than it is right now. And the technology at work in the world of sports. And speaking of work, I call them working trips, but they are, you know, bucket list items or vacations for some people. You can actually go like to Charlotte Motor Speedway, Steve, and learn how to become a pit crew member. That I'm sure that really interests you.
I'm not sure I have that kind of stamina for that anymore.
Those guys are athletes.
They are. They are truly studs.
Up at Road America, they were telling us about some of the pit crew members and the strength these guys have and the endurance they have, and it's incredible. I mean, I was blown away by some of the stories. There's a commercial on TV now, Steve, I think for MasterCard, where a guy becomes a caddy for a hole for Brant Snedeker, I think. And there's other deals where you become a caddy and a pro-am for a professional golfer. That's a lot of work lugging that bag. I don't know if that's really a vacation or not.
It'd be certainly a unique experience, but something I have always said, and certainly I enjoy golf as much as anyone else, but if they want to change it to a sport instead of a game, the players need to carry their own bags.
What about if they had one of those pull carts they were pulling along?
You know, I watched the NCAA.
Yeah, they do that.
Finals, and, you know, they were carrying their own bags or had push carts.
I think caddies have been part of golf for a long time. I don't anticipate them getting rid of caddies anytime soon, Steve. But if I was the caddy for a day, I'd want them to have one of those lighter bags.
Well, there's no doubt. And there better be three or four refreshment stops on the way.
Well, that's a great thing about a PGA Tour pro-am or tournament. They have refreshments on every hole. So you might carry the bag, Steve, and after a couple beers, forget which way you're going with it.
Well, I'm sure I would. I'd be dragging it after a while.
Dragging, be throwing clubs out just to make it lighter.
Yeah, I'd pretend like I was the number one golfer in the world because he throws clubs.
He does, and the your pro would ask for his 7-iron, and you would say, "It's not. I don't know what happened to it. And, you know, you threw it behind a tree back 2 holes ago."
Yeah, is this a 6 or a 9-iron? I don't know.
I've had that problem before. Don't make fun of that.
That's why sometimes they put the line under it.
I know. I've had to squint at my clubs a couple times to make sure I had the right one. I'm not kidding either. You're laughing.
That's why I'm laughing.
My clubs get so dirty sometimes. I got to, you know, clean them off to make sure I got the right club, right number iron.
The only way mine get dirty is from those practice mats at a driving range.
Oh, you get the little scuff marks on it.
Yeah, everywhere around here, there's no grass to hit off of. You got to use the dumb mats.
I know you guys are playing on dirt right now.
We're on dirt. We have no water.
You got a bunch of dirt farmers out there and dirt golf courses. We're getting a nice storm right now. I bet you'd like some of this rain bottled up and sent to you.
Yeah, if you would, please. Everything that here at my house is now dead.
Thank God the network isn't dead.
No, that's true. Thank God it doesn't run on water power. So as long as we got electricity, we're good to go.
We're good to go. Speaking of water, I don't know how the fishing is in your part of the country now on lakes and stuff, Steve. If they're really low, or you know, have you seen some dry lakes now because of the drought?
Yeah, there's actually pictures now floating around from what some of the lakes were a couple years ago to what they are now, and you wouldn't even recognize it. It looks like desert. It's just very, very sad. And really, the fishing is at the bottom because there's just not enough water for the fish. That's also one of the problems here in terms of some of the main water is the protection of the smelt fish and whatnot. So environmentally, there's issues going on, but the lakes, they're not even worth going to anymore.
I mean, let's throw California out of the equation. You know, fishing in some parts of the country where I just was in the Midwest, the summertime is their peak fishing season. You know, take away, they do have ice fishing in the wintertime. Fishing is the number one, I've said this on the show before, we've had fishermen on the show before. Fishing is the number one participation sport in this country. I mean, it is wildly popular still. And fishing also is recession proof. It doesn't matter if when times are good, times are bad, there's still the people out there fishing. So all you need is a rod and a reel and, you know, a pier or in some water to do fishing and to go fishing. But I mean, those deep sea fishing charters and, you know, bass fishing on real nice lakes, those are definitely vacation experiences for a lot of people.
That's very true. You know, periodically I like to take my grandsons out fishing, and to be honest with you, it doesn't matter if we catch anything or not. It's just a great experience to hang out with the boys and have fun and have grandpa show them some, you know, cool little tricks and whatnot. The sport necessarily doesn't have to have an outcome of perhaps what the name is. Golf, for example, I can't produce what the numbers that golf produces, but it's kind of the same with fishing.
You told me you shot a 67 that one time, Steve.
That was the first hole.
That was the first nine? I thought you had the round of your life there. And you just had a normal round.
Yeah, it was just normal, you know.
But you counted every stroke, didn't you? You didn't kick any out from under the tree or anything, did you?
I actually, and I'll be real honest with you, I always count everyone.
That's the only way you figure out if you're getting better. I don't even really keep score a lot of times. I'm just out there.
Just playing.
Yeah. You know, when I'm working, I'm kind of out there looking at the course, taking pictures, trying to imagine how I can write about it. So a lot of times the golf for me is not as much keeping score as it is just experiencing the course like a normal person would. Fishing is fun. You're right. You really don't care if you catch anything. But if you do catch something, it sure makes for a good story, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, because the older I get, the bigger that fish is.
You've caught some big ones, haven't you?
Oh, at my age, they were monsters.
And going another direction, really big right now are extreme sports. This is where I kind of draw the line. I'm a little careful about my sports vacation, sports adventures. I'm not going to be climbing Mount Everest. I'm not going to be, scaling mountains or, you know, setting up base camp anywhere. That's not a vacation for me, but I know a lot of people that are really into that.
Certainly become a big thing. And some of those things are just insane. I don't even know why you would even attempt some of the stuff that you see now with people jumping off cliffs and all that kind of stuff. It just does not make sense to me. Extremely
jumping,
popular.
Gliders. Yeah, it's it keeps getting more and more out there.
I'm not sure why. Is it we don't have enough excitement in our life, or people are just trying to find that extra adrenaline boost, or I'm not sure what it is.
They want to take a couple selfies while they're doing it so they can put them on Twitter.
Yeah, well, certainly GoPro is not going to go bankrupt.
No, definitely not. And, you know, the person that invented the selfie stick, why didn't we think of that, Steve?
Well, I know. I used to break a branch off a tree and use that. Now you buy them for $30. What was up with that?
You broke a branch off a tree, what, to start a fire?
No, it was a selfie stick. Use tape.
You use tape?
Yeah.
With an iPhone?
Yeah. Why not?
I got somebody sent me a Bluetooth selfie stick the other day. I got to try that thing out.
Oh, is that so you can remote control it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. You know, there are the selfie sticks. I've seen selfie sticks for as low as $5 now. So
yeah,
it's definitely, you see people out with them all the time. And now, Steve, you're maybe people don't know on the tech of sports here. You're a pilot, right?
I am. I have a commercial pilot's license.
Now, what would you do if you noticed the pilots maybe on a plane taking selfies up in the cockpit?
I'd probably go join them.
You'd want to get a shot with them, wouldn't you?
Sure, why not?
Would you want the flight attendants in the picture, too?
No, because they don't even serve food anymore.
You can't even get a barely small little tiny bag of pretzels out of them.
No. However, they are there for your safety.
That's their number one.
That is their number one priority.
Safety. Yeah, you're right. But have you thought about any trips as a pilot, maybe, that would be, kind of a adventure or an ultimate type trip or vacation for you?
I've been considering, and maybe I can get it done maybe this fall, is to fly from here up to Lake Tahoe.
Oh, beautiful.
Lake Tahoe is an extremely beautiful area, and, it's not that bad of a flight in a twin. So
how long would that take you?
Probably 2 hours.
That's not bad.
No, and certainly you're flying at an altitude where you can actually see what's down below and just not a bunch of clouds. So it's certainly an enjoyable experience. I used to fly a lot more. We used to, just jump in the plane and go over to the coast and have lunch and things like that, which are really fun day trip kinds of things. I always wanted to do a golf trip that way, but it just never transpired.
Yeah, one of my things, I'd like to play golf, Steve, in each time zone, in one day, each time zone in this country.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And to figure out the logistics on this, and we can talk about this some other time, but you have to kind of play around and then have another spot where you're right on the border to get in the other time zone, then fly and do kind of the same thing in the other two time zones. I think it's definitely doable, especially at this time of the year when you have a lot of lot of daylight, but you would have to have your own plane somehow to do it. I don't think the flying commercial it's possible.
No, I don't think you'd ever get it done that way. So you'd either have to use some kind of private airplane or charter. But then it's interesting. So if you work it out, let me know.
Definitely, definitely. That is definitely something on my list, and I'd like to do a story on it or a little short little book on it. I think that would be very cool. Any other trips, Steve, ultimate vacations that you haven't done that, if someone, the magic genie was going to grant your wish, anything you'd want to do besides the Masters?
It's actually an interesting question presented because, after 21 years in the military and being in almost every country you could ever imagine, I have honestly seen the world and what's there. But when it comes to maybe something personal to me anymore, I'm not sure it's actually sporting for me anymore. It's about maybe going to the mountains to a log cabin and forget about the world for a while.
But you'd still want to have your big screen TV and satellite, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd take them with me.
You wouldn't be that far from sports or reality. Would they have to have a cooler of beer there for you, too?
Well, that's priority one.
Mexican food?
No, I get wore out on that. I eat enough of it.
Chuck E. Cheese pizza?
No, when my grandkids were little, I even refused to go to their birthday parties if they were at Chuck E. Cheese.
The pizza there is not actually that bad.
That's not the problem.
There's other issues with that.
Yeah.
And Steve, I know we got a lot of things going on at the Modern Life Network. I know things are a work in progress every week. Do you want to give the listeners of the Tech of Sports kind of a mini little update on what's going on? And of course, modernlifepodcastnetwork.com.
Yeah, I'd love to, Rick, and I appreciate the opportunity. We've got a lot of things in the works, and we're always trying to work different angles and produce better material, and it's an ongoing process. But to assist in that, we've been building a new studio to provide more ample space to have in-studio guests, to put in better equipment, just to have a better workflow in how we're doing our productions. I just put a post out today where you can go and look at some of the pictures of what we're doing with the studio. Second to that, we've also begun, based on our theme of modern life, we also have modernlifediscussions.com, which I know, Rick, you have put up a couple wonderful articles on there already. And we're continuing to find various avenues where we can have an outlet of our various types of content. We're also in planning stages of 3 additional shows right now. I'm not actually going to say what they're about right now, but I think everybody is certainly going to enjoy them.
Yeah, well, we'll wait on that because it's some big changes, some big additions, hopefully, in the works. And it's always a lot of hard work because, you know, these shows just don't happen by themselves and appear magically on the network. It takes a lot of work from you and everyone else that's involved.
Absolutely. You know, recording is actually the easy part, our 30, 40 minutes of chit-chat and discussion and whatnot. But before that, there's all the pre-planning. There's guest alignment. There's getting documentation ready about what you're going to talk about, all the post-production editing, releasing, disseminating, and then, of course, promoting. Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes behind every single show.
It never ends.
No, it doesn't, but we love it.
Except during 4th of July week. We'll take a few days off there, but...
We are.
Yeah, it's building bigger and better. Looking forward to seeing what else is in store for the rest of 2015. And Steve, I always ask my guests, I'm going to corner you here. I always ask my guests what their current favorite gadget is right now that they can't live without. So I got to ask you.
I actually talked about it last evening on my tech show, The Waves of Tech, because it is now available for public pre-ordering. I've had this device since November, and it keeps improving and getting better. Right now, my favorite utility device, whatever you want to call it, is my Amazon Echo.
I saw that it's become anyone can get it now. You really like it, don't you?
I really do, because I've put one here in my office, and it's just really nice because I can just say, hey, you know, play some music, and it'll play music from my Prime account, or tell me what the weather's going to be, or send me news briefs, or what's the latest sports scores. It's just very convenient to me. And in some of the recent updates, it now integrates with iTunes. It's got Pandora. There's an app for controllability. It's just been a neat addition to in the office here. Or in fact, for example, if my wife's doing dishes or whatever, she can tell Alexa to play her favorite stuff or whatever the case may be. It's nothing super magical, but I just find it a very convenient device.
Yeah, I have, believe it or not, I've just tried one briefly. I don't own one. And, you know, I hear a lot of people saying a lot of good things about it. So I might be in the pool to try one. How long have you had it?
I've had it since November of last year.
All right. You've had it a while.
I was a part of the test group, so we were able to get it for $99 at that time. Right now they're $199. But they're making vast improvements. And one thing you have to watch is that you can also order any Amazon product over it. So watch what you say.
It might be dangerous having it around my house.
Yeah, no kidding. Pretty nifty device. If you don't want to, you know, stream off your phone or your computer, it's a real nice device to have. Well, here's the other thing, Rick. You can say, I want to listen to the Tech of Sports. And the Tech of Sports will start playing from TuneIn Radio.
I'm sure those words have never been uttered in your household.
They have. I've listened to shows through the Echo.
I'm definitely very tempted to try one and give it a whirl. So, is it a device you think you're going to tire of at some point?
To be honest with you, I think all devices, when they're new, it's like a new car. Eventually, some of that newness wears off. For me, it's a little handy device to have around here if I want some background noise or quick information. I don't have to, you know, Google CNN. I can just say, hey, what's the highlights or whatever the case. Now, one thing, certainly it'll work with anybody, but you'll really get the best interaction and best content if you're a Prime member.
Yeah, I am, and definitely very very tempted and looking forward to trying one. And Steve, thanks for coming on and talking about some of your experiences and maybe that ultimate vacation you're going to be taking pretty soon.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I think another avenue for people to find good information about what we just talked about is to go buy your book.
I was going to tell you, we'll tell everyone, we'll put the links in the show notes to where they can buy the Fam Trip Field Guide, which came out last December on Amazon in the Kindle store and on thebookpatch.com, the paperback versions available. So we'll put those links in as long as all the other information into the show notes. And Steve, we'll be back in a couple weeks again with another episode of the Tech of Sports.
Great. I'm always looking forward to what you're going to do in this show, and I really appreciate the information and the content that you present to everybody.
Yep, love the Modern Life discussions. That's a really good forum, and happy to be putting some stuff in there. So listeners can also go on to iTunes and leave reviews for shows on the Modern Life Podcast Network, The Waves of Tech, The Tech of Sports, Busy Ladies, and others on there. Lots of new things in the works for the Modern Life Podcast Network. Go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com and keep up with all the changes, the additions, and hopefully no subtraction, no more subtractions on there. But also Two Thumbs Up Media, new content being added all the time, podcast and internet broadcast, the directory set up by the folks here at Modern Life Podcast Network. So thanks again for another episode, and go ahead and safe travels and take that ultimate vacation. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast on Modern Life Podcast Network production.